This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So the question you need to ask yourself, brothers and sisters, and I'm being serious about this, the people that are around you, look to your left, look to your right. Is he pulling me towards the religion of Islam? Or is he now pushing me further away? When the time of Salah comes, is he like, oh, let's carry on, just one more goal. On his FIFA? Oh, let me just kill one more round. Or is he the type to just leave everything that he's doing, pull you towards the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because you have to understand, brothers and sisters, it has a big effect.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. I hope you are all well. I just wanted to say in the beginning, firstly, thank you very much for attending today. As I was coming in the car, I was driving some of the brothers. I thought to myself, like, where on earth are we going? You know, we was coming into trees and a little farm looking place. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, people are going to really struggle to come here. So, you know, guys, it really sometimes requires motivation, a lot of effort to sometimes try and seek that knowledge, because it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. You're going to have to really go through difficulty sometimes. You're going to go through a lot of problems just so, you know, you could obtain this nur, this light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us in the Quran time and time again. You know, brothers and sisters, you have to understand one thing. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive you. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he wants you to ask him for forgiveness. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. But you find those who follow their desires, they want you to go astray. They want you to go very far astray. And that now brings me to the point that we are here to discuss today, which is one of the means that keeps a person upon istiqamah, keeps him steadfast, firm upon his religion, is the friends that he has, the companions, the people that are around him. You know, brothers and sisters, this is a similar lecture to this. I've maybe delivered it more than 23 times around the country, because everywhere we go, we always find a similar problems. You find that the masjid calls you and they say, oh no, our kids, they're drug dealing, they've got bad people around them, we've tried, and so on and so forth, but nothing's happening. It's a very big problem in everywhere. You go to the other side of the world, you find the exact same problem. You go to Coventry, you go to Leicester, you go to London, it's the exact same problem. And this is why the experts, they say that a person becomes affected and influenced because of three things. Firstly, you find the people around him, the environment also, and the third thing that they say is the DNA. But here we want to give a lot of emphasis to the issue of friends, the effect and the influence that it has on a person. And we also have to realize, brothers and sisters, that I know there's people here today that really want to change. They want to become better Muslims. They want, you know, a better future for themselves. And they've realized that they've been drowned in so much, you know, fitan, khubth, filth, evil. But you have to also understand, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wants you to change. The other day I put something on Twitter and Abu Bakr got really, really excited. And I've had an email, you know, the reason why I put it on Twitter was because I received an email from one brother who said that I've had such an evil past and I want to change. And I don't think I'm the type to change because of the evil past that I had. So I put on Twitter a quote that I heard before, which is very relevant to our situation. Every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. So when I put that up, Abu Bakr started messaging me with so excited and happy. Oh, you took that off my DM. Oh, you're trying to refer to me. He's just really, you know, gassed about himself. I don't know where he got it from. I don't even check his DM. I think I'm trespassing his Twitter. Or whatever it's called in there. And the Shahid min al-Kalam is,
everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened that door for everybody to change. No matter how evil you were, how many people you've killed, how many women you've fornicated and done zina with, that door is always open. Have you not seen, brothers and sisters, there's times when you've done something wrong to someone. Even after you try to apologize, he doesn't want to know. He turns away from you. Recently, I got into an argument with my cousin. Even though I don't believe that I was wrong, I said sorry to him at the end. He goes, take your story and, not story, sorry, and throw it in your face. That's what he said to me. This is a family member of mine. And you find that many of the Bani Adam are like that. The son of, you know, Adam, they just don't want to accept your apology. And I'm thinking to myself, Allah Azza wa Jal opened the door of Tawbah for you to change. And you, the son of Adam, who is absolutely nothing. Is it still on? You're absolutely nothing. You don't want to accept my apology. So the point is, brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity to change. No matter how bad you were, the door is open for you to hit new heights, to become a great person that the people, inshallah ta'ala, will look up to. Don't think everybody has a beard today. They've always had the most joyful and the best of past. No. There's people that I know who today are giving da'wah that were drug dealers. I knew people who were carrying knives. I know people who have scars all over their bodies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed them in an instant. وَهَذَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. So the point is, again, I know I'm going off topic. I tend to do that because of the excitement of sometimes, some of the things that go through my mind. We're here to speak about the companions and the effect and the influence that it has on a person. And I'm going to mention to you, like, inshallah ta'ala, some stories. The first story that I'm going to start with is Abu Talib. Does anybody here not know who Abu Talib is? Who was Abu Talib? Huh? Oh, the lovely white jacket, yeah. Huh? The cousin. The uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, on his deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes and he visits Abu Talib. Abu Talib, brothers and sisters, he was someone who aided the religion of Islam. I don't think any of us that are sitting here today in his lifetime is ever going to do as much or give al-Islam as much assistance and aid the amount that Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave. He's on his deathbed, he's dying, it's the last few moments. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters upon him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters upon Abu Talib. He says to him something very, very simple. قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كلمة أحاجبك عند الله. Say لا إله إلا الله. A statement that if you say it on يوم القيامة, I am going to defend you. I'm going to have your back. He's going to dispute on his behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him to accept it from him. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? This is Abu Talib. Because at that time he was upon kufr. You have his companions, Abu Jahl, and all his other, you know, family members who are sitting there by his side saying to him, أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Are you now going to desire other than the religion of Abdul Muttalib? So then the Prophet says the same thing. قُلْ لَا إِلَهِ لَاللَّهِ. Say the لا إله إلا الله. Then you have his other companions on the other side saying to him, are you going to desire other than the religion of Abdul Muttalib? So they're going back and forth. He's looking like this and he's looking like that. He's in confusion now. Doesn't know which path to take. When Abu Talib, brothers and sisters, he knew that the religion of Islam was the truth. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَرَأَيْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَلِكَ مُبِينًا. If it wasn't for the fact that I was going to be blamed and, you know, problems I was going to face, I would have accepted the religion. And he mentioned these lines of Prophet that he knew that the religion of Islam was the truth. But because of what, brothers and sisters? His bad companions that he had was the reason as to why he never accepted Islam. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Because of his bad companions, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in a hadith, إِنَّهُ لَيُؤْتَى بِرَجُلٍ تُوضَعُ فِي أَخْمَسِ خَدَمَيْهِ جَمْرَتَانِ يَغْلِي مِنْهُ دِمَاغُ. A man is going to be brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Two rocks are going to be placed under his feet. From the hellfire. Two rocks from the hellfire are going to be placed under his feet. What's going to happen, brothers and sisters? His brain is going to boil. In another narration, it comes, مَا يَرَى أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَشَدُ مِنْهُ عَذَابًا وَإِنَّهُ لَهْوَنُهُ عَذَابًا. A man will look at this adab, this punishment that the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through. And you know he's going to say to himself, brothers and sisters, that nobody is going to be punished with a bigger punishment than Abu Talib. But guess what, brothers and sisters? It is the lightest punishment that a person is going to see on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And all because of what? His friends. The people that were around him, that influenced him, that affected him to have a particular ideology, a particular religion, because of his friends. So the question you need to ask yourself, brothers and sisters, and I'm being serious about this, the people that are around you, look to your left, look to your right. Is he pulling me towards the religion of Islam? Or is he now pushing me further away? When the time of Salah comes, is he like, oh, let's carry on, just one more goal. On his FIFA, oh, let me just kill one more round. Or is he the type to just leave everything that he's doing, pull you towards the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because you have to understand, brothers and sisters, it has a big effect. For no reason did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention it many different times in his prophetic tradition. الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يُخَالِفُ. A man, he is upon the religion of his friend. So let him examine, let him investigate who his friends are. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ جَلِيسُ الصَّالِحِ وَجَلِيسُ السُّوءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِقِ الْكِيرِ. Like the one who has a good friend and the one who has a bad friend is like the perfume seller and also who? The blacksmith. فَحَامِلُ الْمِسْكِ إِمَّا أَنْ يُحْذِيَكَ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَجِدَ مِنُهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبًا وَإِمَّا أَنْ تُبْتَعَ مِنْهُ. The perfume seller, he's either going to give you a nice smell, you're going to leave his shop, we're coming out with a nice smell, or you're going to end up buying from him. Are you there with me, brothers and sisters? As for the blacksmith, وَإِمَّا أَنْ يُحَرِّقَ ثِيَابَكَ أَوْ تَجِدُ مِنْهُ رِيحًا خَبِيثًا. Or when you go and visit a blacksmith, you're going to end up being burnt because of the things that he works with, right? Or you're going to come out with a very bad smell. And that's exactly how the good friend is. When he takes you to the masjid because it's the time of salah and you're somebody who doesn't pray, you're going to think to yourself, oh, at least done some good today. If your life is just filled with filth. And he'll stick with you. He will leave traces on you. But if he's a bad friend, he just says to you, Akhi, one more. Let's just do this on Eid day, just one day. Let's go and, you know, pick up the girls and go and, you know, hire out a car. Let's just go to the cinema. Let's just go to, you know, what's this place called again? Broadway, was it? Southall Broadway, that some of you may have seen, where we went. And wallahi, since I've been back from Medina, I've never felt that bad. Being there for a few hours, I don't think I've ever felt my heart like that. Just being in this kind of environment, just one day, everybody is going, let us all go to Jahannam as well. That's exactly what it means. How many times do we see, right? Everybody's doing it. You know, everybody's doing it, let us go do it as well. In simple terms, for it to be dumbed down, let us just all go to Jahannam as well. That's exactly what it means. Second story that I'm going to mention, inshallah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, this is something pertaining to marriage. I'm sure everybody here wants to get married, guys and the sisters, you know, to complete the other half of their religion. I don't think anybody here wants to stay single and as a loner for the rest of his life. So I think it's imperative that we mention. Does anybody here know Aisha? Does anybody here know Aisha? Put your hand up if you know who Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is. Half of the people here, they don't know. Come on, guys, but we know Messi, right? We know Messi, Ronaldo, Rihanna. What's her name? Rihanna. Rihanna, Rihanna. Kanye West. We know these guys, right? So you have Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. There was an individual, brothers and sisters, called Imran ibn Hittan. People say Hittan, but the correct way to say it is Hittan. Imran ibn Hittan, brothers and sisters, was an individual who used to take a hadith from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He was a tabi'i. used to take a hadith from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He used to narrate and know, and people used to come and take these hadith from him. Ash-Shahid ibn al-Kalam, long story cut short, a woman went past him. He ended up seeing this very attractive, beautiful sister. And you know, as they say, brothers and sisters, love is blind, right? This is why, you know, when a guy, Allah says in the Quran, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفَ سُفْيَانِ الثَّوْرِ, commented, the reason why the insan, the human, he's weak, a girl walks past, he struggles to lower his gaze. So a very beautiful sister walked past. And he wanted to get married to her. People were like, no, don't get married to wife because she's from the Khawarij. The Kharijites, the extremists, the people that we find today, people like ISIS, Boko Haram, all these other terroristic groups. He was like, no. Well, obviously that time, ISIS and Al-Qaeda weren't there, but I'm talking about that time, the Kharijites at that time. He was like, no, she can't change me, I'm going to end up changing her and make her upon the correct path. Guess what happened, brothers and sisters? He ended up getting married to this woman from the Khawarij, and he became the head of the Khawarij. From taking a hadith and being from the students of Aisha, he became the head of the Khawarij. Why am I mentioning this story? Because your spouse, brothers and sisters, is one of the closest companions that you're going to have. So a person needs to be very careful of who he tries to get married to, and needs to really examine it and investigate who he wants to be spending the rest of his life with. Because it will have an effect. How many sisters have I seen? They become amused by the BMW that a guy took on finance. A lot of the time today we see very nice cars, right? But in fact, the majority of them, they've taken it on finance and they're paying riba on it. They don't even own it. But we get deluded by seeing this money that he may have, drug dealer's money. And her mind blows away because she sees these materialistic things. But later on, she messages me. She goes, oh, brother, wallahi, my husband, he went into... Didn't I tell you? Why did you go for him? He got chucked into prison now, and now all of a sudden, regretful. You could be somebody who takes a wrong move in his life, and it causes him to be regretful for the rest of his life. And this is why it's very, very important that a person really, really looks into it. This is why the Prophet said, تُنْكَحَ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعْ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ دِينَ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكَ. Men normally tend to get married to women due to four different reasons. Sometimes because of the lineage. You know, and also you have to realize, just because her family is good doesn't always by default mean that she's going to be good as well. So you need to look at her. All because of the jamal. Sure, every guy here will, that's the first thing that pops to his mind. But if it's solely dependent on that, and there's no religion there whatsoever, it could end up being, you know, something that you regret. The jamal doesn't always stay. 2 years, 3 years, the baby comes, you know, it's not always the pajamas that, you know, the night clothes that she wears every single night. And then also you find the third thing that was mentioned. What was the third one? I mentioned two things. Huh? Lineage, what else? Beauty. Third one is walimaliha, her wealth also. How many times did we see, brothers and sisters? You know, when the recession took place so many years ago, some of you that probably weren't alive or something. This was 5-6 years ago, right? Huh? How long ago was it? Takhriban 6-7 years ago. So when the recession took place, طيب, tomorrow a recession takes place and I got married to this person simply because he's a very rich person, does that mean, khalas, when the wealth goes, I'm going to leave him? If that's, you know, it's solely dependent on the wealth and the money. Fourth thing is the religion. فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكَ. Go for the one for the that has the religion. I'm not saying to you, end up getting married to a sister that you're totally unattracted to. No. But rather, the main thing you look at, is there any potential in her when it comes to the religion? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعَ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ. This dunya is an enjoyment. And the best part of this enjoyment is getting married to a righteous woman. إِذَا نَظَرْتَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْكَ. When you look at her, she makes you smile. وَإِذَا أَمَرْتَهَا طَعَتْكَ. When you ask her to do something, she's obedient straight away. وَإِذَا غِبْتَ عَنَا حَفِظَتْكَ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِكَ. And when you're not absent from her, she looks after herself and she looks after your wealth.
May Allah Azza wa Jal give you all women like that. If you're already married, another one. Nobody said Ameen. Find them, innit? Ashahid min al-Kalam, guys, it's very, very, you know, important that you look at this. Because how many guys do we see now? Wallahi, they're complaining. They go away and their wife is behind his back putting her Instagram pictures online. Behind his back. And if a woman doesn't know her religion properly, it could be the reason why she does that. And the last story that I'm going to conclude with, there's only 5 minutes remaining. This is a personal story that my own cousin told me about. My own cousin. And it's partly to do because of what? The friends that his sister had. There was a sister, guys, who used to wear the niqab, her jilbab. She was dressed from top to bottom. She was clothed out. Couldn't see her. And obviously you have to understand also, guys, that women crave attention. When you get married, you have to understand that women crave attention. You don't give her attention, it's a problem. They crave attention. And obviously she has friends now that put their pictures out on Instagram, on social media, and they get a lot of likes, likes, likes. It's a disease today. It's like a drug. It's like a drug. What happens when you smoke weed or you smoke crack, you get excited, right? Become very happy and that you start jumping up and down. That's exactly how social media has come today. The more likes you get, the more happy a person becomes. And the less likes he gets, he becomes depressed. Wallah, it's very true. Check it out for yourself. Ashahid min al-Kalam, obviously if a woman is dressed from top to bottom, then obviously, you know, no one's gonna give likes, right? Because they can't even see the way she looks. So slowly, slowly, one garment after the other started coming off. First the niqab comes off. She's still wearing her jilbab. She starts putting pictures on social media. Laba, she's gonna get some likes, right? Because her face, you know, not as many as everybody else though. Then the next garment comes off. Now all of a sudden the jilbab, the baggy one, is off. It's been dumped. She's wearing more, you know, skinnier one. Then that comes off. It's more like, you know, dressing a bit more moderately. Later on the hijab comes off. The hijab has now come off. And slowly, even more, she started exposing herself even more. What happened, brothers and sisters? She started speaking to this guy. He started speaking to her. And he tried to blackmail her. He took her picture. You know what he done, brothers and sisters? If she doesn't do X, Y, and Z, read between the lines, he's going to take her pictures and he's going to spread it around the world. And not just a picture of her face. You know, guys, I used to work in Photoshop. Not the Photoshop, the company. I used to make, you know, back in the day, I used to make posters. I was very good at, you know, the job that Sami does for Imran. I was better than that. So the point is, yani I could make posters. It's very, very easy, very easy to take someone's head and stick it on a naked body. That's exactly what he done to her. All you need to do is a bit of glow. You need to blur it a bit. You know, just play around with it and bang. You can get someone's head and stick it on something else. The brother calls her. My cousin calls his sister and he says to her, what happened to you? You used to be a niqabi, you used to be dressed appropriately. Now all of a sudden that's changed. All of a sudden that's changed. Because wallah, I didn't do it. He tried to blackmail me. He tried to, you know, push me into doing X, Y, and Z. Again, read between the lines. But I refused. So he took her picture and he ended up what? Spreading around the world, just trying to bring shame to her. So that now brings me to the point, brother, Ash-Shahid min al-Kalam. The point of discussion, because of your friends that you are around, don't let it be the reason as to why you destroy your dunya and likewise the akhirah. Look how the sister's dunya became. Now she wants to get married, nobody wants her because she has naked pictures. Naked pictures on the web. Are you there with me, brother and sister? Nobody wants to deal with that mess. And you know, guys, especially the sisters, they will mock you. They will call you ninja. They will call you bubblehead. They will call you whatever. You wearing the hijab, dressed in this appropriate way. But remember, Al-Qabidu ala deenihi kal-Qabid al-Jamr. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told. At the end of time, they will come. Holding on to your religion will be like holding on to hot coal. What happens when you pick up hot coal? You drop it, right? It's too hard. It's going to get very difficult. They will mock you. They will try and say everything about you. They will try to humiliate you in front of the people and make you look like an outcast. Somebody who is not up to reality of the world today.
I remember when I was working for this company, I've got a minute left. When I was working for this company, this call center, this like 4 or 5 years ago, I said to them that I'm never going to take riba, I'm not going to take a mortgage, I'm going to be happy with my council flat that Allah gave me. Wallahi, the people around me, they looked at me as if I'm a madman. Thinking, what do you mean? Like, everybody is striving, is dying to get a council house in the area that I'm in. It's a very Islamic area. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Like, holding on to your religion, people are looking at you, oh, a madman. That's exactly what happened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself told us, بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ. The religion of Islam is starting strange. And it's going to come back very strange as well. وَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. But glad tidings to those who are strange. Also, it could mean that the person will be given a tree, طُوبَى, in Al-Jannah. There's another narration that explains even further. So the Prophet was asked, who are these people who are strange? هُمَ الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدُ النَّاسُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مِنْ سُنَّتِي, sorry. هُمُ الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. These people that are strange are going to be those who rectify from my sunnah that which people have corrupted. Majority of the people today, you'll find they are not mustaqim. Allah told us in the Quran, وَإِنْ تُطِي أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You follow the majority of the people on the earth, they will lead you astray. And people will look at you as if you're mad, you're crazy. They will mock you, they'll take the mic. They'll say to you every name under the sun. And that's exactly what happened to the Prophet. He was called a magician, he was called a madman. They took the mic out of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ. So what is wrong with him? So I shahid min al-kalam, brothers and sisters, hold on to your religion, especially in these times. And for you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is a reward that many people are not going to have. You're wearing the niqab, they will say to his hot brother, say to them, النَّارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. The fire on يوم القيامة is more hot. If only these people knew. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.